kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo irirangi pōho he parakuhi. Tēnā, you're listening to 95 BFM Breakfast. I'm very excited to be joined by Jen Clower on the line. Morena, Jen.
Morena.
How are you?
E tehi ana.
So excited to have you here to talk a little bit about your podcast. Everybody's trying to find their way home. We're in season two world now, aren't we?
We are.
How does it feel?
It's a couple of years on from the first season. It's interesting because, you know, it's found me returning home as the podcast basically was Her Motokiti. It was obviously knew that I was going to come home at some point. So, yeah, exciting.
Beautiful. Yeah, fulfilling the name of the podcast. For anyone who's not aware, Jen, you're from Melbourne, but you are Māori and you've returned to Aotearoa now and you're based down in Otaki doing Rūmaki Te Reo Māori full immersion course. Is that right?
I am. I'm at the at Te Wānanga o Raukawa. It's a year-long immersion with the option to do a second and third year, which is a degree course. Mm. And, you know, it's for someone, I mean, I didn't grow up obviously here. I grew up in Te Whenua Moi Moia, Ahi Te Reiria, and I wasn't immersed in language and culture there. So I've literally just kind of walked in, maybe with a handful of words, can sing a couple of waiata, know a karakia, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. So it's been a trip, you know, like it's been a haerenga because I think I didn't realise that actually the majority of people doing the course can kind of already speak Te Reo Māori, and so they kind of come to be in an environment where they can practice that. Whereas I'm sort of just like walking around going, all right, that's how you say that word. That's how you put that sentence together. So it's like being a tamariki. It's like being a little kid again.
Yeah, piecing it all together. I really like in the podcast you say that the course doing full immersion is sort of like dying and going to Māori heaven.
I mean, living in Otaki is, you know, really incredible. It's just so beautiful because, you know, you have the beach right there with Kapiti Motu and you've got the Tararua Ranges and it's just, yeah, mind-blowingly beautiful. And then you've got the campus just sitting right in the middle of, you know, all of that beauty. So, you have to pinch yourself. Mm. Yeah, Ātahua, that's it.
Beautiful. Do you want to give us a little background for you and what your journey to reconnecting with your reo and your whakapapa has been so far and what was behind the decision to spark up this podcast in the first place?
Yeah, well, I came home to Aotearoa to tour in 2019 with Tiny Ruins, who are some dear mates of mine. They were putting out their albums for a couple of years through Milk Records in Melbourne. They invited me to come over and open shows for them around both the north and south Motu. And during that trip, I went up home, up to Tai Tokoro, to Matangiro, to my marae. And it was the first time I'd been up there without my mum. So it was kind of, it was a different experience. Mm. And, you know, she'd passed probably 5 years before. I just had a real moment, I think, of realizing that I had this rich history that connected me to that particular whare, but also to the whenua, and that I came through a line of wahine Māori, and it was something that I hadn't really ever, I don't think I'd ever really owned it because I'd been in Australia and I'd identified as being an Australian, you know, like that's what I grew up in. And so it kind of opened a door, and I think I've just kept walking through that door to finally, find myself, back here in Aotearoa studying. But the podcast was something that accompanied my last album, Kuo Te Awa, Ko Te Awa Kuo, or I Am the River, The River Is Me, a beautiful whakatoake from the Whanganui River iwi.
Mm.
I guess it was a curiosity to speak with both First Nations, Aboriginal, Torres Strait Island songwriters who were writing and performing in their languages, and also Māori to to learn what's that process been like, because obviously I have an interest in that. So that kind of kicked off the first season, and there were amazing people like Thea talking about her Te Kahu Orangi project, Anna Coddington, just some legends from Te Whenua Moi Moia, like Emma Donovan and Lou Bennett. And then I thought, well, you know, I loved making. It's a huge labour of love, and, you know, there's many hours because we go out on the road, so it's actually usually I spend a weekend with someone just following them around. But, yeah, for this upcoming season, we've just got some, I just think, yeah, just some of the cream, Fidamarkle Black, Jordan with the Y, Billie Jean. And the corridor, I think, has become perhaps more rich because I've learnt more, you know, and I'm a bit more grounded, and there's more capacity for me to sort of lean in and talk about our language and culture in a way that maybe in the first season I was still really just learning. Yeah. I mean, we're always learning. You get the point.
Yeah, totally. I feel like as well that the two seasons offer something quite different in their own, and perhaps people who are living abroad and trying to reconnect with their reo or aren't living in the space of where their whakapapa is, it's season one offers that sort of experience of reconnecting with your language when you aren't necessarily surrounded by your people so much. I mean, what was that journey like for you starting your reo journey in Nam?
Well, it was I think, you know, as I said, that tour back here in 2019 kind of opened that door of curiosity. And when I came back to Nam, I just started to look around and see what was there for Māori, for Hapori that were living in Nam, in Melbourne. And so I went and joined a kapa haka. I started training in Modako, Māori martial arts. I started a waiata ropu with other takatāpui who were living in Nam. And I guess I just walked into those worlds to see, you know, what would happen and what I might learn and the connections that I might make. And I think, that also led me into Te Ataurangi, which is a very beloved method of learning. I'm sure a lot of listeners would be familiar with, where you learn with the cuisinaire, the coloured rods.
Yeah.
So there's a school in Melbourne that a friend of mine runs, and so I'd go along to that every fortnight. And yeah, that was just a really basic introduction, but it all helps to kind of demystify, and I think also for people who are reconnecting away from their lands, who aren't grounded in that real knowing, not growing up around that knowing and that mātauranga and that corridor, you know, you're always a bit scared. You know, it's a bit scary because you're like, oh, I don't know anything, and there's that shame and that whakamā. But I just encourage anyone, because I think there's plenty of Māori here as well, you know. You don't have to be in Australia to feel disconnected. And, you know, I just encourage anyone to just move through that fear and you know, just give it a go, because it has opened up a world for me, obviously, that has been so enriching and nourishing. And it's a part of ourselves, you know. It's a big part of ourselves that we do need to come home to as you know, tangata whenua. Yeah.
Beautiful. Obviously a lot has changed for you between the two seasons. Was there a moment that you felt like, with how season one was received, as though, oh, this is really important, I have to keep going with this? Or was it more so a little bit sort of selfishly like, this is so fun and I'm learning so much that I want to keep doing it for me? Or a bit of both?
I think that the thing that really kind of moved me the most was the feedback that I got from people, you know, that would message me. We did some live podcast episodes and I had people come up in tears just saying, thank you so much for this season, this first season. It's been so, you know, it's been a comfort for me. You know, it's been healing, it's been rongoa. And you often don't know that. I think that's the strange thing about putting things out into the world. You know, you put it up on a streaming platform or on your website, and then often you don't know who's listening, you don't know how they're feeling while they're listening. So to get that feedback, I think was really what made me go, oh, this is something really special. I love making it. I love hearing these stories. And I guess, you know, the other thing that I'd want to add is, you know, I feel like things are changing in the music industry, but for too long, I think Māori and First Nations, Wahine and Takatāpui people haven't been centred. Their stories haven't been centred. And I think it's really important mahi. And I think that I really wanted to make sure that I had a podcast that was, in my opinion, of an internationally broadcastable quality.
Mm-hmm.
That really presented these stories with the kind of care and the love and the polish that they deserve. So that when I think people often just think, oh, another annoying songwriter with a stupid podcast where they just sit on YouTube and talk shit, and there's room for that. You know, I listen to a lot of that. This is actually really crafted audio documentary. Mm. So for a half hour episode, you're looking at about 200 hours of work to deliver it. So I'm immensely proud of it, and I'm immensely proud of the team and the people who were generous enough to let me follow them around and hear their story.
Mm, beautiful. Season 2 is available now at everybodystryingpodcast.com. It is so beautiful. I can't stress enough how much I encourage everyone to go and have a listen to it. We're going to close off with one of your tracks, but you are sort of still doing musical things while you're at Rumaki down in Otaki. You're playing a gig with Maratike this week, is that right?
Well, it's a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks away, okay.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. We're playing at St. Peter's Village Hall in Paikākāriki. Myself, Maratike, and an ambient plug, Taonga Puoro, I think duo, there might be more, called Modi Aura, as in A-U-R-A, which I love.
Awesome.
From Pornicare, and it's a fundraiser for our whānau in Paratinia in Palestine. All of the proceeds will be going to Mohammed and his whānau, that a local Ōtaki, Māori Ōtaki group have been sending koha across to them for a couple of years, so that relationship is there and really strong. And the beautiful thing about it, my God, is that it's a matinee afternoon show.
Beautiful.
Which I love, all ages, no booze. Bring your kui-kui, bring your queer, bring your koro, have a cup of tea, you know, like old schools.
Oh, miharo, I wish I was there. So good. Thank you so much, Jen Chloe, for your kōrero today. It's been so cool to hear a little bit more about your podcast. Everybody's Trying to Make Their Way Home is available for listening now. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
It's such a pleasure. And I'm just going to add, you can find tickets to that show on Under the Radar.
Oh, very
important
good.
Very information.
Good. Awesome.
Ngā mihi for your time, e hoa. I really appreciate it.
Oh, tēnā koe. Kia pai tō rā.
There's an ocean flooding you now. I won't drown. Babe, you can save yourself. A golden thread above my head. I'm getting.
I still got a way to go. of your life.